Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle with you, ready for another week. The first, this will be the second full week of January 2022. Welcome to the program. My buddy Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. It is Monday, January 10th, 2022. I can now say with pride, we are now in our 12th year on the radio show and 34th year on TV and radio here in the Tucson market. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI, the voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed on the Buckmaster Show website from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we will be utilizing the Live Line with our face-off. But first, I want to tell everybody about our home sponsor, our title sponsor for the Monday political face-off, and that is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe. We love Moe and the family. They have had this wonderful business, this wonderful family-owned business, since 1985. They have art for your walls. They've got a beautiful gallery over at the shop. They do, of course, the picture framing. But if you don't want to actually have Mo do, you want Mo to do the framing, but you don't really want to place it on the wall, Mo can come out and will gladly do that for you in a very professional manner. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at mosgallery.com. They've got a really nice, newly redesigned website there at mosgallery.com. All right, our Monday political face-off will be done telephonically today. We have John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. And we have Jeff Rogers, another well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, we'll begin with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It was a beautiful weekend this weekend.
Yeah, really a nice weekend. My goodness, it felt more like spring. John Munger, how's it going?
Well, it's been going okay. I had a tough weekend with a cold, and I didn't want to come into your studio today, so I'm calling in instead.
Well, I very much appreciate that. I think you're exercising caution there, and we do appreciate that, because it's such a weird time right now, Jeff and John, with this whole commingling of the cold and flu, and then you throw in COVID. It is just it's one of those, let's get through somehow the next couple of weeks for sure. Let's get through this month of January, and together I think we can do it. The governor is giving his State of the State address, and that usually means, and it always does, it gavels in a new session of the Arizona legislature. There are a couple of already high-profile items I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, Jeff and John. Jeff, we'll begin with you. This having the primary and general election days a state holiday in Arizona. Already, employers have to allow, under current state law, to let the employees off for 3 hours. But it has to be, the window is usually determined by the employer. Do you think this would be a good idea, Jeff?
Well, I think it's probably, I've never been opposed to that. I've always thought it was a very good idea, but I think it's kind of unnecessary. We've reached a point where at least 85% of people are voting by mail, and I'm just not seeing lines on election days. If this trend continues and the legislature doesn't do something to hurt vote by mail, which I don't think they will, because it's very popular among Republicans as well. So I think it's kind of unnecessary. I view it as something that I wouldn't be surprised if they put it in a package that contains some other real poison pills of trying to limit the voter franchise from this state legislature. So, you know, I view it as something that I certainly wouldn't oppose it, but I think it's probably unnecessary given how many ballots we cast by mail in this state.
John, what do you think?
Well, I think it's fine. I don't see it as a magic solution to anything in particular. If they want to make a holiday of it, that's fine with me. I don't think it's critical one way or the other.
Well, one thing that's going to be a lot more controversial is this measure that is being put forth by Republican Senator Wendy Rogers, Jeff and John, and this would set up a $5 million agency. It would be called the Bureau of Elections. It would be within the governor's office to investigate any allegations of fraud in the state, county, or local elections. John Munger, what about that one?
I think that's an excellent idea. I think we need to have absolute confidence in our election processes. And anybody who has any ideas of creating election fraud needs to understand that the state will be vigilant. We have a good system in Arizona right now. And I think anything we can do to keep it strong and make it stronger would be great. So I think it's a good idea.
And Jeff,
I mean, what could possibly be wrong with investigating potential cases of fraud?
Jeff, what's the answer to that?
Well, the answer is that we've got probably one of the best election systems in the entire country in the state of Arizona. Why mess with it? We haven't found any significant cases of documented fraud of any kind. We went through that silly hoax audit that, you know, ended up showing Biden winning by 300 votes more. So this is just wholly and completely unnecessary. We already have something that investigates the integrity of elections, and that's called the Secretary of State's office. And just because the Republicans didn't win it the last time, I guess they want to somehow kneecap that office. But that office is, you know, a significant step in protecting the integrity of our elections, and it's done well in the past. In addition to that, we have county recorder's offices in every county in this state, and they run the actual elections within the counties. And they, too, are very careful about how they run these elections and very thorough. And I've done the hand count audit many, many times in the past 20 years, and we've never found anything of any kind of fraud whatsoever throughout that hand count audit. So I think it's a solution looking for a problem.
And John Munger, your response to Jeff?
Well, voter fraud isn't just a matter of counting ballots. Voter fraud can occur in a lot of different ways. And I agree with Jeff. The Secretary of State's office does have the authority to investigate that, as do the county offices. But voter fraud can occur in a lot of different ways besides just counting ballots. You could have voter fraud occurring by people wrongfully voting, by ballot harvesting, illegal systems of procedurally collecting the ballots. A lot of different things could happen. So I don't see any problem. I don't think it's the end of the world one way or the other. But I don't see any problem with checking and double-checking our electoral system if it'll create confidence in the more confidence in the electoral system. I agree with Jeff. We have a good system here in Arizona, and I think that we should be proud of that, and we should do everything we can to protect that system.
Jeff, election laws will be a focus again of the legislature, and do you think that is kind of wholly unnecessary at this point, Jeff Rogers?
I think it is. I don't think there's anything that needs to be done to change any of our election laws right now. I think everything is secure and reliable, and there's no need to mess with it at all. I foresee that they will try to do something that attempts to, you know, to deny people the franchise of voting. I mean, that's just what Republicans have been doing all across the nation over the last year, and I expect to see more of it here in Arizona.
Oh, my goodness. The sin never stops, does it? I mean,
yeah, it never does, John. The Republicans, they understand. I'll give them credit for this. They understand that if everybody participates and votes, they lose. And so they've got to limit the franchise somehow so that they can pick their own voters.
The Democratic Party is down now to starting to let non-citizens vote in some states, letting felons vote, letting people who come across the border illegally vote. You guys are so desperate to finally get somebody that will vote Democratic. You're going to take a huge loss in this next election. The desperation is on your side, and you guys are going to suffer from these radical policies that you have. I've had a personal example of this. I mean, here we have this COVID stuff. Now, this weekend, I wondered if I had COVID. I went out to try to get some COVID tests. I checked several stores. And our great Biden administration hadn't thought ahead enough to order enough COVID tests. So you can't get them. And then even if you got a COVID test, then you can't get the therapeutics to treat it. And, you know, Biden is just a complete failure. So don't tell me how wonderful the Democratic Party is and how rosy it is for the Democrats. The Democratic Party is in huge trouble, proof of which is they're trying to get non-citizens to vote and felons.
All right. Well, we'll pause right here. And Jeff, you'll be up to the plate when we return.
Sure.
But first, John, do you think something from Mona's Danish Bakery might make you feel a little better? You've had a really rough weekend. You haven't been feeling well. Do you think something sweet, some type of a pastry, would make you feel a little better right now?
You know, that's just a great idea. I think we may run up there. Mona's is the best. Yeah.
So there may be a Mona's run from someone.
Maybe do a quick Mona's run.
Yeah. A Mona's run from somebody in the Munger family. And Jeff, maybe you should.
Well, I had breakfast there on Saturday, and it was delicious as usual. I noticed they switched out the hash browns for some fried potatoes now.
Huh.
And they're also very delicious as well. And after you ranting and raving about how wonderful that bacon was, I just had to try the bacon, so I did.
Oh, yeah. The bacon was really good.
I had it yesterday. We were up there for breakfast yesterday. I tried something a little bit different. Had the croissant, the scrambled eggs on the croissant, and then some melted Havarti cheese, and, of course, a couple of strips of bacon, and very complete breakfast there at Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. If you're curious about the menu, it's at monasdanishbakery.com. There's pictures of each of the items, beautiful pictures that go with each of the items for breakfast and lunch. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
That's appropriate bump music. Only the beginning, as we're at the beginning of a spanking brand new year, 10 days into it. You know, I was out in the garden yesterday doing a little watering and just had that warm sun on my face, and it hearkens things to come. There was that, wow, this actually had kind of a hint of spring in the air yesterday. And where I'm going with this, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, that this would be a really good time not only to get some advice about your rose bushes. I always get confused about this over, and the people at Green Things can answer this in a snap. Should I do my rose bush pruning in January? Even though it's kind of weird, there may be some more and probably will be more frost down the road. But what I'm saying is the people at Green Things at 3384 East River Road are so knowledgeable. It would be very hard to stump them with a gardening question. They're open daily. The website's greenthingsaz.com, zocalovillage.com. Of course, that's our sister business, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. And we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we are utilizing the live line as our face-off guests today. John Munger and Jeff Rogers are doing the show telephonically with us. The face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff, I'll begin with you on this one. Democrats are saying, I'm seeing this a lot, New York Times editorial, our democracy is in grave danger. I'm hearing that a lot. Is it so, Jeff Rogers?
I believe it is, and for the reasons I stated earlier. Republicans realize that in the long term, you know, no matter what happens, you know, in 2022, in the long term, Republicans are not appealing to a wider segment of society, and their base is narrowing in its population, and therefore they've got to control who votes, and not only control who votes, but control who handles the vote. And that's what some states are trying to, and I expect we'll see some quite a bit of this year in legislative sessions, that they're going to try to have veto power over the voters. They're going to basically try to put in place some kind of alternative way of selecting a slate of electors that they can send for certification of the election if they don't agree with the results of the election. And you can imagine what would have happened if that kind of law had been in effect here in Arizona. The Republicans would have sent some new slate of voters that presumably would not have voted for Biden. And that would have just been an unbelievable insult to our democracy. But, you know, we're seeing all kinds of things like this from the Republicans. And as I said, I think that they wisely see that they can't win elections. But instead of expanding their base and expanding their role in leadership and trying to address people's concerns, they've decided to attack it from a different way. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I expect to see a spate of these kinds of laws throughout the United States, including in Arizona this year.
John, are you worried about democracy being in grave danger?
Not at all. I think our country's in great shape. Don't know what the Democrats are complaining about. They elected their candidate for president. What's the problem? It's only that the Democrats aren't getting their way because certain moderate Democrats like Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin won't go along with the Democrats on their big spending bills. And so the Democrats are claiming, well, our democracy is at issue because one senator won't vote with us. No, 51 senators won't vote with you. You know, they forget those little details. The fact of the matter is that the Democratic Party is in deep trouble. Their presidential candidate is at 35% in the latest polling. Their vice presidential candidate's at 28% last poll I saw. They're both failures. There's not a problem this country has right now that they haven't both created. You know, they promised to solve this COVID problem. They haven't solved it. Not only have they not solved it, they made it worse by forgetting to order tests and that people could use, like I wanted to use it this weekend, and therapeutics. They're so desperate to finally get somebody to vote for them that they're finally now trying to implement policies for the federal government to take over the election system, which is blatantly unconstitutional. The states are in charge of elections, not the federal government. The Democrats are trying to do everything they can to try to control the electoral system, because now 50% of Hispanics vote Republican. That's new. Much higher percentages of blacks are voting Republican. That's new. If the election were today, the Democrats would lose in a landslide. Democracy is just fine.
All right.
The country's doing great.
All right, let's bring Jeff in one more time before we wrap it up. Jeff, your response. What do you say to John? John had these cold-like symptoms, and like so many people, he didn't know if he's got COVID or he had COVID and he wanted a test. It's frustrating for people, Jeff.
Well, I think it is. I have four boxes of two tests at home right now. I didn't have any trouble getting them at all. I went to got two of them at the downtown library, the other two at the Abrams Health Center, which is about where Keno Hospital is. And so, you know, I think there's probably not enough supply of it. But the Washington Post reports today that they should start shipping at the very earliest late this week and at the latest next week to individual homes. In other words, John will get one in the mail, in his mailbox.
Wow.
Pretty soon here. So that should happen pretty soon here.
It's about
and also
time.
About John's attacks on President Biden. You know, In 11 months, we've created 6.5 million jobs. Nothing like that has ever happened in the history of the United States. That is a record by far. Less than a third of that is what was created during the first year of the Trump administration. In addition to that, we now have the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. It's under 4%, which most economists describe as being at full employment. So, you know, I think things are going well. Do we have a problem with this coronavirus? Yes, we do. And let's quit discouraging people from getting vaccines. Let's all get vaccinated, get boosted, and continue to wear your mask and be careful.
All right.
Maybe we'll be lucky with this new variant that it's not as severe and not as deadly.
John, we're going to have to run. Final quick thought.
Well, look, we lost 10 million jobs in the COVID crisis. Biden's only got back 6 million jobs, and he's bragging about it. We still have 3 million jobs less today than we had before. People, the labor participation rate is collapsing. People are wanting to work because of this welfare system the Democrats have created.
All right, John Munger, thank you very much. Jeff Rogers, thank you very much. Hope both of you feel stay safe and feel better. All right, the Buckmaster Show continues. Our face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com. We have our BBB scam alert next.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. You know, this year, people holding tickets for admission to the different venues, everybody seems to, you know, they want to get back to going to live entertainment. But, you must comply with the COVID-19 protocols. And ticket sales have been brisk, but competition to secure some of the seats at games and such can be tough. Denise Alvarez with us, the director of operations with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona and Tucson, with us in studio. Some tips on how to stay ahead of the scammers when it comes to searching for tickets online. Denise, this is becoming a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, a lot of the venues and stadiums are following COVID protocols to ensure everyone's safety. And so most of them are requiring you to purchase the tickets online, add them to your digital wallet. And so, you know, thanks to the internet, there are countless ways that consumers can find the tickets, but finding the right ones and making sure that they're not fake has become somewhat of a challenge. And so actually, last year, we just received over 140 reports through our scam tracker about ticket scams related to sporting events. So we wanted to share some tips that we have so that consumers are aware of what's going on with these ticket purchases.
So some of these tickets that folks are purchasing are fake. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yes. So we even partnered up with the National Association of Ticket Brokers, NATB, and we're working to raise awareness and educate fans about the smartest ways to buy the tickets on secondary resale markets. Some of the consumers have access, early access to some of the tickets, and so they resell them, right? But whether those tickets are fake or not is really the question. And so we wanted to share some of the information that we found along with the National Association of Ticket Brokers so that consumers are aware of what to look for when they're purchasing the tickets online.
And I did not even know there was a National Association of Ticket Brokers, but this sounds like this is a very trustworthy organization, and people think of the BBB as being very trustworthy, which of course you are. So it sounds like this is a pretty good marriage, BBB and the National Association of Ticket Brokers, known as the NATB.
Yes, absolutely. So the NATB is actually a professional association. The members are professional resellers, which means that if they don't deliver what they promise or take care of the consumers, there is some type of recourse that they can take. But when you buy from them, you're buying from a reputable company, or a reseller, and making sure that they're doing the business right.
So it's always, you should probably, whether it's buying tickets or buying anything online, I think there's something that we all need to do, and that is do your homework and make sure you know who you are buying from.
Yes, absolutely. Doing your homework, and that's where the BBB really comes in. We're a one-stop shop where you can find all of this information: customer reviews, complaints against the company, the reseller. And so that's why you want to visit BBB.org before you purchase your tickets.
Let's take a deeper dive now, Denise, into some tips that you can share with our listeners about buying tickets online and hopefully not getting scammed.
Yes. The first tip is whenever you have the possibility to purchase from the venue, you want to do so. Many official ticket sale agents now offering secondary sales options as well, but you want to buy for the venue whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. So that gets back to you better know the source.
Correct. Yes. Consider the source. Know the difference between a professional ticket broker, which is a legitimate and accredited reseller, a ticket scalper, which they basically are unlicensed to sell the tickets, or a scam. Whenever the ticket prices seem too good to be true, they usually are.
And that's sort of appropriate for anything you might find on the internet, right?
Correct, yes.
So how do you do your homework when it comes to a particular seller or ticket broker?
You want to look them up. Start with BBB.org to learn what the consumers have experienced with that particular company or reseller. Check to see if they have a member or if they are a member of the National Association of Ticket Brokers. NATB members offer a 200% purchase guarantee on the tickets. You can also look them up on verifiedticketsource.com to confirm you're buying from an NATB member resale company.
So be very careful before you click on an email or a certain online ad. Are there certain things maybe some clues that will let us know when when you look at a web address whether or not they're legitimate or not and it's secure.
Yes, absolutely. You want to look for that lock symbol in the web address to indicate a secure purchasing system. Don't click through, like you said, the emails or online ads. A common ticket scam trick is to create a web address that is similar to a well-known company. And you, once you put in your information, then they have all of that. And so you want to look for that little lock on the web address.
The most important thing to, I've always want to know about whatever I'm buying, Denise, and that's whether or not it's refundable.
Yes, absolutely. You should only purchase tickets from a ticket reseller that provides clear details about the terms of the transaction. So you want to know that refund policy. What happens if it gets canceled? Nowadays, we see a lot of that rescheduling because of COVID. And so you want to make sure that you understand what you're buying and what happens if the concert ends up being canceled or rescheduled.
Yeah, be careful if you're going to do a wire transfer or cash as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. You want to make sure that you're using a payment method that comes with protection. So you always want to use a credit card so you have some recourse if the tickets are not delivered as promised. You know, debit card wire transfers or cash transactions are always risky because you don't know if you'll be able to get your money back. And that might be a sign that the tickets are fraudulent. So you want to make sure that you can use a method of payment that you can track and also dispute if needed.
And if you see a ticket that's so low you can't believe it, again, that's like buying almost anything on the internet. If it's too good to be true, it probably isn't good.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Be wary of those advertisements. When you search the web for tickets, you know, you want to make sure that the tickets, if they seem too cheap, you know, like I said, make sure that you double check, go to BBB.org and find out about the company before you make any purchase.
Can you verify your tickets, Denise?
Yes. Like I said, you can definitely contact the venue. That's the first point of contact that you want to make. Whenever you see an event, any type of tickets that you want to purchase, you want to contact the venue and make sure that they're not selling them first before you purchase from a reseller.
You know, a lot of the things you've been saying here with these buying tickets, it's applicable to other things. I was just thinking about searching online for airline tickets the other day. And it is so important to know about whether or not this is a non-refundable ticket. Will I get my money back if I have to cancel? And you really need to look at the fine print.
Yes, absolutely. Read the fine print whenever you're, we have the tendency to fill out the form, put in our credit card information, mm-hmm. but really read the fine print and make sure that you're understanding what you're buying. Because a lot of the complaints that we do receive is people didn't read the terms and conditions, made the purchase, and then they ended up having issues.
Again, it's BBB for the Better Business Bureau.org, and there is just a wealth of information there. And your scam tracker, you update that every day, don't you?
Correct. Yes, it's a live map that'll have all of the information from consumers. You can put in a zip code. It's a heat map. It'll tell you the scams that are going around your community, your neighborhood, and you can find that at bbb.org/scam tracker.
And if you think you've been scammed, you'd like to hear from the people.
Absolutely, yes. We rely on that information to then share it with others.
Denise, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
And again, that website is bbb.org to find out more information and tips, such as those we've been providing you today. And if you believe that you have been a victim of a scam, please report it to the bbb.org/scam tracker. We'll be right back on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. If you're thinking about, hey, I just need to get in the car and go somewhere, how about a three-hour road trip? That's not bad at all. Drive east on I-10, take a left when you get to Lawrenceburg, and head up the mountain to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A perfect time of year to do outdoor activities and hiking. Just a great time of year in Silver City. The website to find out all the information about what to do and where to stay, very convenient, southwestnewmexico.org from the friends of ours over in Silver City. Well, that James Webb Space Telescope, boy, that's an exciting project. Decades of development, decades in the making, and now 2 weeks after the launch, all is going well. The Space Telescope completing what was a very complex unfolding process. Let's find out more about it from Dr. Mark Sykes for his monthly visit with us here on the Buckmaster Show on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute for 50 years, been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Hey, Mark, it's not too late to say Happy New Year, so how are you?
Hi, Bill. just fine. Of course, I haven't been here 50 years, so you know, there's that. But yeah, the Institute has been around for 50 years as of Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, it'll be a we'll be ramping up celebrations.
Yeah, that's so Groundhog's Day, February 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what one of our founders, Bill Hartman, who's still with us, along with Don Davis, say.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. This is very exciting, isn't it, about this space telescope?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's an impressive engineering accomplishment. You talk about unfolding. This is extremely complex, where it's got layers of large panels of Mylar to protect the telescope from sunlight, because this telescope is going to be operating primarily in the thermal infrared, so looking at light from the heat of objects out at 28 microns and so it's got to be kept very, very cold. And the telescope itself is a whole bunch of segmented panels that had to unfold and into the mirror, which they have now successfully done as of Saturday. And then the telescope is continuing its journey to where it's going to be finally operating, which is outside of the orbit of the moon at a place called L2, the Lagrange point 2, which if you were to draw a line from the Earth to the moon through the moon, then it's at a particular point beyond of the moon. And it'll be orbiting that point in a circle big enough so that we can continue to see it from the Earth, because that's how it communicates its data down to us. But that sun shield will be pointing towards the sun the whole time, and it will be making some of the most detailed and sensitive observations of objects in that wavelength range that have ever been made. And of course, it'll be looking at objects from the beginning of the universe, very close to the beginning of the universe. Mm. And the reason why it's operating at these long wavelengths is that when you go back in time, or when you're looking at just objects that are further and further away, you're looking more and more back in time, because it takes light a certain amount of time to travel. And there's this effect called gravitational redshift, which means the star, say our sun, if we were to stick it out at 10 billion light years away, then it wouldn't look yellow like it does. It would look deep red, because
wow,
light shifts its wavelength to longer and longer wavelengths. You've heard of the microwave background,
uh-huh,
you know, from the explosion of the universe. So explosion of the universe, really hot, really bright event, right? But the radiation from that we see today is out in kind of short radio wavelengths. It's so distant, and the redshift has caused the light to stretch out in its wavelength. And so that's why if we want to look at objects way back towards the beginning of the universe, we need to be sensitive to these longer wavelengths, unlike Hubble, which was visible light that we see, and the ultraviolet radiation. So it's going to be very exciting. Also, we hope to be looking at spectra in this wavelength regions of the atmospheres of exoplanets, planets orbiting other stars, so we can see how similar or dissimilar are they to the Earth. Are there complex molecules in the atmosphere that might indicate, you know, life processes going on?
First images, Mark, come back to us and are released to the public in June, do you anticipate they'll be like dramatically better quality than Hubble?
Yes and no. It can't be easy. It can't be a simple answer, right?
No.
Its resolution is not as high as Hubble. The highest it could see is a tenth of a or 700th of an arc second. Hubble is 400th of an arc second. So it's about twice as fuzzier as Hubble, but it's far more sensitive because its light gathering power is 9 times greater than Hubble's, and so it's able to see fainter, more distant objects.
Mm.
And it's also at a different wavelength region than Hubble. It's in the infrared, where they overlap a little bit in the red, James Webb operates at these longer wavelengths. And the nice thing is that we can couple many of the observations that James Webb will be taking with observations that have been taken at these wavelengths from ground-based telescopes. Now, the problem with using a ground-based telescope on Earth to look at these wavelengths is it's like looking at a faint object with your telescope on fire. because again, you're looking at thermal emission from faint objects, but the telescope itself is warm and the atmosphere is warm, and so you have to go all through. This is what I used to do back in the day, making thermal red observations of objects with your telescope on fire. And so, but James Webb is outside of the Earth's atmosphere. It's shielded from sunlight. It'll be in a wonderful environment for making these observations in a very sensitive way. So we will be seeing things that we haven't seen before at resolutions that we haven't seen before from space at these wavelength regions.
And remind us, who was James Webb?
He was a NASA administrator back in the day. I think around that. Oh boy, but you caught me here. I'm thinking around the time of the Apollo program.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this first started the planning for this. I mean, it's like what, 30 or 40 years ago, right?
Not that long. It was proposed by a decadal survey. I think about 20 years ago. And things always take a while to get off the ground, and then there's the inevitable delays and cost increases. It was originally proposed to be, a $1.5 billion project, and now it's 10.
Wow.
But that's life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at some of these images, the combination of images from a computer animation that was made available by NASA that shows the unfolding of the components of the James Webb Space Telescope. It's just, it's like, I can't believe that actually happened in space.
Well, but one thing that's guaranteed, Bill, is that we're going to be looking at things, circumstances that we haven't seen before. You know, we're looking at distances we haven't seen at this resolution before. We're going to be, and as a consequence, we're going to be seeing things that we aren't expecting to see. I mean, this happens every single time that there's phenomenon going on there that, oh, what's this? So there's the expectations of what we'll see. Yes, we'll see these distant stars. We'll be looking back towards the early part of the universe. We'll be getting this information from exoplanets. But I'll guarantee you that there's going to be a lot of discoveries made that at first, when first detected, scientists will be scratching their heads and going, what the heck is this?
Yeah, that's a guarantee, I think. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, and get ready to celebrate 50 years for the Planetary Science Institute on Groundhog's Day. That's quite an accomplishment, and for really a unique institute that's based right here in Tucson, right?
Yep. We're the largest employer of planetary scientists in the world. There's not a lot of planetary science in the world, but we're the largest employer of them. And our headquarters is right here. We've got scientists in 30 states and 11 countries, and they're working on everything.
And they work all over the world, and they all call PSI as their home base. And the website, by the way, is psi.edu. I encourage everybody to become a member. I'm a member, and join a great organization. Mark Sykes, I hope the new year is off to a good start for you.
Yes,
I hope things will be good this year for you in 2022. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, you too, Bill. Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We've got a really full lineup as usual coming up tomorrow. Guests will include the Pima County Supervisors Chairwoman Sharon Bronson. We'll have our arts report from Margaret Regan, the longtime writer of the Tucson Weekly, and of course Shelley Fishman with this Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Very full day. Hope you'll be back with us in about 23 hours from now. On behalf of engineer producer Ray Allen, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.